This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
Before we get started with the khutbah, I ask everyone please move forward, closing the gaps. There are many people looking for spaces who wish to join us in the main hall. So it is a Jum'ah of Ramadan. So try to close in any gaps you have to your sides. Fill in as much as you can. Try to make your sufuf like you are in Salah. The sisters as well, please close in your sufuf so we can accommodate those who are coming a little later into the main hall. Jazakumullah khair.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the honor and the opportunity to fast for 1 week in this month of Ramadan. 1 week ago, we were preparing ourselves for the first Taraweeh prayer. And there were uncertainties. How will the Ramadan be? How will I work while I'm fasting? How will I go to school while I'm fasting? Will I be able to attend Taraweeh prayer? Will I be punctual in my recitation of the Qur'an? Will I be able to fast properly? These were thoughts that roamed our mind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the month of Ramadan. And as it happens every year, that power, that energy came from the unseen. And we were able to carry ourselves out much better than we thought in the first week of Ramadan. We read our Qur'an, we fasted, we did our dhikr, we attended the Taraweeh prayer. We were a part of the community. We came to the masjid for iftar. The community developed and it built together. Now what happens is that this is the point where 1 week into Ramadan, we start getting lazy. This is when you start telling yourself that I've done enough, I'm not sure if I can do this anymore. I think I need a little bit more sleep. I think I need to cut back on reading the Qur'an. I shouldn't be an extremist. I should be moderate when reading the Qur'an. I shouldn't, you know, stand too long in Taraweeh prayer. Let me cut down the number of raka'at I attend. Or maybe instead of praying in the masjid, I'll pray at home. Those of us who made an intention at the beginning of Ramadan that we will not watch TV, this is where the TV remote starts looking more pleasing and more attractive. We start thinking to ourselves, let me go and watch the news. I won't watch anything other than that, just the news. Let me open up my Netflix account and I'll only watch documentaries, nothing other than that. Let me go back to my Facebook, I'll do da'wah to people. I'll only read the posts that relate to Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As if the rest of the posts are just going to delete themselves. Let me go back to that WhatsApp group that I've been ignoring for the past few weeks or for the past few days, knowing that it's a distraction. And let me just check what people are saying. So all the barriers that we put up between ourselves and distractions are now coming down. This is where people are reconsidering whether they should continue reading 3 juz of the Qur'an that they made a commitment to at the beginning of Ramadan. And all of the goals that we set before Ramadan started, we are re-evaluating them. That's not how we should conduct and hold ourselves in the month of Ramadan. We need to remind ourselves that it is this very same attitude and habit of ours that brought us away from spirituality and away from achieving our goals in life repeatedly. This is what shaitan does to people. We know that shaitan is locked away in the month of Ramadan. But the habits that shaitan has instilled within us remain with us. Every time we made an intention to achieve something, whether that was attending the masjid outside Ramadan, whether that was giving sadaqah outside Ramadan, whether that was going and taking a class at college, or taking the Arabic class in the masjid, or attending the weekly seerah halaqa, whatever class we made an intention to attend, or any time we made an intention to improve ourselves, what happened was we started off very strong going to the gym on the 1st of January. And then a few days into it, we started compromising our intentions. And the moment we started compromising our intentions, that's when shaitan broke us down. Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he says something very beautiful. He says the first sign of inconsistency is that you will compromise the schedule you set for yourself on day one. If you've told yourself that I will read my Qur'an after Asr Salah, do not substitute that time with another time. Because today you might read it after Dhuhr, tomorrow you might read it after Fajr, and the day after you won't be reading it at all. This is the first sign of inconsistency. And if you're looking for sincerity in your ibadah, and this is something that's always advocated from the pulpit, and you may hear in the halaqat and in the khatiras, that be sincere. I asked my teacher once, I said to him, Shaykh, how can I be sincere? He said, there are many signs of sincerity, but the greatest sign of sincerity is istiqamah. The ahwal will change. The situation will change. The circumstances will change. But if you're doing something for the sake of Allah, you and your action will never change. You will continue doing what you do. There was a scholar, there were multiple scholars in Basra. So there were students from two different scholars, they sat together one day, and they were just having a mudhakara, speaking with one another. One of them, he said, you know, oh my shaykh, he's so pious and he's such a righteous person that he has X, Y, and Z miracles. And he started listing a list of miracles that his teacher has. The second person, when he started introducing his shaykh, he didn't have any miracles because his shaykh was just a normal, boring Muslim. And he didn't have any cool things to say about him. Later on that evening, the second student, he was sitting in front of his shaykh and his shaykh noticed that he was a little sad. He said, what's bothering you? He said, you know, earlier on today, we were sitting together with some friends and one of them was introducing his teacher and he was talking about how, you know, supernatural his teacher is and how all the cool things he can do and you can do nothing. So his teacher said to him, yes, it's true. I don't have any special miracles. But let me ask you one thing. In the 10 years that you've been my student, have you ever seen me do anything against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The student of his said, no, I've never seen you do anything against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is where his teacher said, al-istiqamatu fawqa al-karama. That steadfastness on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has more value than any miracle. Let a person walk in the water and fly in the air if they wish to. But that doesn't have value because Allah didn't tell you to do that.
Allah didn't tell you to walk on the water or to fly in the air. Allah told you to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah told you to read the Qur'an. Allah told you to be consistent with your fasting and with your salah. That was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs you to do something, when Allah commands you to do something, that becomes the most important thing. So right now with the month of Ramadan passing by, and as these days fly by, who thought that we'd be sitting here today saying that 1 week of Ramadan is gone. And these weeks are just gonna knock over one after the other, just like dominoes. One, two, three, and before we know it, Ramadan's gonna be gone. What we need to do to make sure we make the most of this Ramadan is go back to our intentions that we made at the beginning of Ramadan and renew them. You must renew what you had in mind before Ramadan started. What were the goals that you really wanted to accomplish? What's the spiritual gap in your life that you've been dying to fulfill? If there is something that you've been really struggling to overcome, if there's someone in this gathering who has a bad habit of smoking, you're a chain smoker, there is no better season in your life for you to quit than the month of Ramadan. Because this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping you. If someone has an addiction of looking at haram, there is no better month for you to discontinue that addiction or step away from it than the month of Ramadan. If you have a habit of lying, cheating, swearing in your business, or if you consume and eat haram, and you know that what you're doing is wrong, and you feel that spiritual emptiness in you, there is no better month for you to fill in the hole in your life than the month of Ramadan. Because this is the month in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving mankind. People are freed from the fire of hell. The likes of you and I become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is only for those who have a desire for it. If you don't have an intention to accomplish something in Ramadan, you won't be able to accomplish much in Ramadan. Because the principle of change is that without a desire, change never occurs. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. If you want to change something in your life, if you want to become a better husband, a better father, a better brother, a better child, a better student, a better teacher, a better worker, a better employer, if you want to become better in your life, you have to first desire it. You need to ask Allah, Ya Allah, assist me in becoming a better human being. And when a person comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sincere desire in their heart, it is impossible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn that person away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send that person back as a failure. Your Lord will accept from you as long as you call on to Him. Use this month of Ramadan to make your intentions. Where can you improve? Sit with people who know you. And as bitter and as difficult as it may be for you, ask them, ask your child, where do you think I can improve as a father? It's a very tough thing to do. But trust me, if your child is sincere and if you've done your child's tarbiyah right so far, they will give you advice that you really need to hear. Go and ask your spouse, where can I improve as a husband? Where can I improve as a wife? And if you have a good relationship, a sound relationship, they will give you advice that you really need to hear at this point in your life. And then use Ramadan to make that change. Ramadan isn't only ibadah. There's so much more to Ramadan than reading the Quran, where that's really important, by the way. I'm going to encourage, as I close off this lecture, that we need to focus a lot on reading the Quran. We need to focus a lot on our dhikr and our ibadah. Those are all things that are really important. But as important as those things are, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also taught the companions that use Ramadan as an opportunity for character reform, making yourself a better human being. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one of you gets into a quarrel, an argument, and things get carried away, instead of continuously engaging in that argument, or even contributing toward that argument, فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. Say that I'm fasting, because a fasting person shouldn't have bad character. A fasting person shouldn't get angry. A person messaged me earlier this week saying to me that I have anger issues, so am I excused from fasting in the month of Ramadan? I said to this person, you're looking at the whole thing wrong. Ramadan is supposed to help you with your anger issues. Let Ramadan help you. Let fasting help you. If you rise in the night and raise your hands in front of Allah and you say, Ya Allah, I have anger issues. I need help. Ya Allah, soften my heart. Ya Allah, shower my heart with your mercy. Go and get professional help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely guide you. It's not just a matter of making dua. Dua is very important. But you have to also follow the means, the asbab, of curing the problem that you have.
For those of us that are looking for an avenue or a way of how we can protect what we've gained in Ramadan so far, what we've built so far, and how not only can we preserve this, but how can we build upon this, then know that there are some things that are very important for you to incorporate into your Ramadan. If you incorporate these things into yourself and into your schedule, into your Ramadan, not only will you preserve what you have, but inshallah al-Aziz, you will continue to build on it. You will grow and grow and grow. The first thing, surround yourself by good people. Surround yourself by people who care about Taraweeh. If you sit and do iftar with people who don't care about Taraweeh, you will miss your Taraweeh prayer. Mark my words. If the people who you socialize with are people who don't care about reading the Quran, who are not punctual on reading their salah in jama'ah, in the masjid, if these are people who are not punctual on tahajjud salah, if these are people who don't care about fasting, and for them fasting is just a hunger strike, then you will become that person. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truthfully said, وَهُوَ سَيُّدُ الصَّادِقِينَ الْمَرْءُ عَلَىٰ دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِدْ. You will be, a person is on the faith of his brother, of his friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِدْ. So be very careful in who you select to be your intimate and close friend. Choose the people that are around you. Choose your company. Any person that wishes to excel in any field in life will surround themselves by people who are experts. You sit with good cooks, you'll become a good cook. You sit with people that are healthy, you'll become healthy. You sit with people who are focused in life and they have a goal to achieve, you'll become that person. But if you sit with people who are so lazy and sluggish and careless and, you know, people who actually have no ambition in life, then that's the person that you'll end up becoming. The companions became who they were through companionship, through their suhbah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's exactly why their rank is irreplaceable. Because no person can ever give you the suhbah and companionship of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing, whatever commitments you made at the beginning of Ramadan, renew your intention today that I will continue doing it. I will not give up. And wherever I failed, I will continue on from there, making sure that I continue doing what I'm supposed to be doing in Ramadan. Making intentions is one thing. Making intentions is a very important thing, but it's one component to the equation. It's not the full equation. After that making of the intention comes a second step, which is renewing your intention. And this is where most people lose out. This is where they lose out. The ability to constantly renew your intention. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us repeatedly in the Quran, to do dhikr of Allah, to do dhikr of Allah, to be in the remembrance of Allah. Because every time the tongue utters Allah, la ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, every time the tongue utters the name of Allah, it should be a renewal of your intention of why you're even living your life. Why you're doing the things the way you should be doing them. Why are you so obedient? Why are you a Muslim? Every time you do dhikr, you remind yourself of that intention again and again. So renew your intentions today. Renew them tomorrow. Renew them a week from now. Those of you who can constantly renew their intentions in Ramadan will be the victorious ones. They will be victorious at the end of Ramadan and they will find a Eid that will not only be pleasurable for them in this world, but on that day, inshallah al-Aziz, our names will be written on the registers of the entry of the people who will gain entry into the gates of Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah al-Aziz. The third thing is that don't sell yourself short on the good things that you do. What happens to many of us is we say, it's only Taraweeh prayer. If I don't pray my Taraweeh prayer, what change is that going to do for me? It's not like Taraweeh prayer is going to make me a big person. It's only a small deed. Forget about it. If I don't read 3 juz and I just read 1 juz, what's the big deal? It's not that big of a difference. Let it go. Don't sell your good deeds short. Every good deed that you do with sincerity, you will find its reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Whatever good you put forth to Allah, every subhanallah, don't belittle your subhanallah. Don't let someone come and tell you that your subhanallah is not going to get you into Jannah, or your la ilaha illallah is not going to get you into Jannah, or your 2 rakat extra taraweeh prayer won't get you into Jannah. Because you don't know which deed of yours will get you into Jannah. Use every moment you have. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Your time is running away. Hasan al-Basri, he would say to his students, you are time. as a minute leaves, as a minute passes by, imagine a part of you disappearing that you will never see again. Imagine your finger just disappearing and melting away in front of your eyes. That's your relationship with time. As time passes by, a piece of you passes by. Why should I let a piece of me pass by without doing something with that time? Do you think the lady who Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates this hadith in his Sahih from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think the lady who gave water to that dog, had she belittled her action when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned her in the hadith saying that she is promised Jannah? No. She didn't belittle an action. She did what she could. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions, never belittle any small action. So every good deed of yours, give it its value. What you're doing is important. Every verse of the Qur'an you read is important. Every fast, just the way it is, it's important. If you can make it even better, walhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. And the last and the most important thing, when you give yourself a schedule, or you give yourself a routine, and then you fail, most of us are inclined to just abandoning the act at that point. So you tell yourself, oh, I skipped it one day, what's the point doing it now? Forget it. I skipped one Taraweeh prayer, now I've broken my routine, what's the point doing the rest of the Taraweeh prayer? Let's just skip it. And then you start skipping nonstop. I missed one fast, forget fasting now. I missed one day of reading the Quran, forget doing it altogether now. Don't let that break you down. Know this, every time you make a schedule, or you give yourself a goal to achieve, it is very likely that you will fail. And when you fail, not if you fail, when you fail yourself, know that that's a very natural thing. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, "Kullu bani Adam khata." Every son of Adam alayhi salam makes mistakes. Every human being makes mistakes. Every one of us does. It's not about making a mistake that makes you a good or bad person. What determines your value is your recovery. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. How do you stand up again? So if you miss Taraweeh one day, don't accept loss. Next day, come earlier to the masjid. Make dhikr earlier. Come earlier and spend time and make dua to Allah and ask Allah, Ya Allah, don't let me fail today. Before you start your fast every day, raise your hands and make dua to Allah, Ya Allah, let this be the fast that testifies on my behalf as I enter into the gates of Jannatul Firdaus, inshaAllah wal-Aziz. Every time you fail, stand up again. Every time you fail, stand up again. Failing and staying down is not something Muslims do. What we do every time we fall down, we raise our hands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the energy to push forward. I close off this discussion of ours, this reminder, on this blessed Friday of the month of Ramadan, to encourage every one of you to not give up. Keep going forward. Keep pushing. If you've done wrong so far and you haven't lived up to the Ramadan that you expected, now is the time for you to change. Even if it's just a few days, even if it's just a few hours, find a moment in your day that you can, or in your week, that you can connect yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this Ramadan, try to find that moment that it's only you and Allah, and you raise your hands and you cry in front of Allah and you make dua for your akhirah. How long are we going to continue to ask Allah for wealth and not ask Him for the real wealth, which is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let your heart melt in front of your Creator. Let your eyes cry in front of your Lord. Humble your knees in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring your forehead to the ground, because that's the closest you can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves a servant that is humble, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes a servant that's arrogant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes the mutakabbirin, those who think of themselves very greatly. Lower yourself in front of Allah this Ramadan. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this Ramadan. Nobody knows whether they'll live till the next. Nobody knows if they'll live to tomorrow. Use today, because wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. Allah takes an oath by time and says, mankind is in loss when it comes to time. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except for those who believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they do good deeds. وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ. And they encourage one another to stay steadfast on the truth. They call one another towards La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they are there for one another as a structure to remind one another to be patient from on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Patient from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and patient with the calamities that we face in our life. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Astaghfirullah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما يا رب العالمين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي بالحق ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت فلك الحمد على ما قضيت ولك الشكر على ما أنعمت به وأوليت اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل زمان ومكان يا رب العالمين اللهم احفظ البلاد المسلمين واحفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين اللهم ولي أمورنا خيارنا اللهم ولي أمورنا خيارنا اللهم ولي أمورنا خيارنا اللهم لا تولي أمورنا شرارنا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استوى استقيم straight in your lines please الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يسألك الناس عن الساعة قل إنما علمها عند الله وما يدريك لعل الساعة تكون قريبا إن الله لعن الكافرين وأعد لهم سعيرا خالدين فيها أبدا لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا يوم تقلب وجوههم في النار يقولون يا ليتنا أطعنا الله وأطعنا الرسولا وقالوا ربنا إنا أطعنا سادتنا وكبراءنا فأضلونا السبيلا ربنا آتهم ضعفين من العذاب ولعنهم لعنا كبيرا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Ihdina الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون وفواكه مما يشتهون. كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون. إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين. ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. كلوا وتمتعوا قليلا إنكم مجرمون. ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. وإذا قيل لهم اركعوا لا يركعون. ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. فبأي حديث بعده يؤمنون. الله أكبر. سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. With today being Jum'ah, I encourage everyone to keep the Muslims in Yemen, in Afghanistan, in Syria, and across the world wherever Muslims are suffering and difficulty. Please keep them in your du'as, inshallah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. JazakAllah khair, Mufti Kamani, for your very inspirational khutbah. I'm here just to request all of you brothers to help us with the expansion of the masjid. We have been working on this for last several years, and we still have some things to finish. We have to finish the multipurpose hall. We have almost $200,000 of Qard-e Hasana that we have borrowed from people that we need to return. And also we have bathrooms that do need to be finished, and there is a significant expense to that. So you know, for all of those things, we need your help. So inshallah, can we have somebody who can start us out today for $10,000, inshallah? For $10,000, one brother or sister? One person for $10,000 for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One brother or sister? Okay, can we have two people, maybe one for $5,000 each? $5,000 each, inshallah.